Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, okay? We are going to be going through the book of 2 Corinthians, okay, for the next few weeks. In fact, next few months, really. So many things in 2 Corinthians. And let's stand, all right, as we read verse. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, and we will be actually systematically going through, all right, the book of Second Corinthians, and hopefully it will be an encouragement to us as we just dig out some of the gems and gold from God's word, all right? I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and so on, until we finish at verse number 7. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Verse 2.
Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. Verse 6. Okay, verse 7, let's read together. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before you to bow before you, Lord, right now as we humble our hearts before your word. Lord, we know that you have placed thy word above all thy name in the book of Psalms 130 in verse 2. Lord, we know that your word is higher than your name, because if your word is not true, then your name is not true. And so, Lord, today as we come and understand 2 Corinthians, Lord, from your perspective and how we can apply it to our lives, Father, I pray that you will encourage our hearts to understand why Paul praised you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to touch our hearts. We ask you to speak to us in a special way, that God, when we leave this place, we will say that it is good to be in the house of God. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, please sit there, yeah. Okay, do just before I start 2 Corinthians, just do pray for us. We'll be traveling tomorrow morning, all right? I think Brother Jun also traveling also tomorrow morning. Okay, they're going to different parts. Okay, we'll just be away for 4 days just to be, just be away, all right, in Penang. So let's pray for safety. We'll be meeting with Pastor Ter over there as well, for those who know Pastor Ter. Okay, so she'll be trying to play host to us. And he wanted us to hike with him up Penang Hill, which is 5.5 kilometers. I say, no. We'll meet you at the bottom of the hill. And then you see some of the, we kind of planned an itinerary already, so we just kind of discuss whether or not we want to follow that. All right, so do pray for us that we don't eat too much. I just have a good time. I just be the family and also be still with Chen and the mom. Cindy Mei Ching and my mom will be coming along as well. So in the meantime, if there's anything, please refer to the men of the church, Brother Denzel, Brother Taylor, Brother Robert, Brother Ping Kwang, and all that, Brother Desmond and all that. So, all right, they will be around to... I still need to check whether I'm on auto-rooming or not. Okay, well, we'll be going through the book of 2 Corinthians. Over the many, many years, I was taking a checklist. We've gone through Matthew, we've gone through... John, we've gone through Acts, Romans, we actually systematically go through all. But I was wondering, how come we have never gone through 2 Corinthians? So we're just going to go through that and then dig out some principles that God has for us, okay? So this second epistle to the Corinthian church was written by Paul, Okay? And the purpose that Paul was writing 2 Corinthians, I just give you a little bit of background, because he had to defend his apostolic authority. He had to defend his ministry, because the 2 Corinthians people, the church of Corinthian people, were charging him with many things. Okay? If you would look at, I think in your verse you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, the people were charging, they were actually talking bad about him and saying that his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Paul is probably the height of Esther Joy. Esther Joy is about 1.4, right? 1.4. Paul, the Apostle Paul is probably, according to tradition and history, he's probably about like that. He's very short, okay? Not someone that you would actually put a lot of attention to. And that's why the Corinthian church, look at him, he's just a scrawny person, he's just small. That's why he says his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. We don't like to hear what he's saying. And so, as Paul preached there, he began to... They were depreciating the person. They were bringing down the value of the Apostle Paul. He was belittled. Do you know what's the meaning of Paul? Who knows the meaning of Paul? What's the meaning of Paul? The word Paul means little. Okay? The word Paul means little. And not only was his name meaning little, but in the Corinthian church, he was very small in their eyes. So Paul actually had to write to defend his apostolic authority. Not only that, look at 2 Corinthians 11:23. He was also going through a lot of tribulation. He had to go through a lot of tribulation in his ministry. In the book of 2 Corinthians, you will find that Paul was very personal with a lot of his experience, with a lot of what he feels, okay? And he actually tells the Corinthian church, I love you a lot. And that's what he was very clear about. He loved the Corinthian church a lot. I'll just read through what he went through, and so you understand what kind of tribulations he's gone through, okay? In 2 Corinthians 11:23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death of 5 of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That means of the Jews, he was whipped 39 times, 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I was been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. The word perils means in danger, okay? In dangers of mine own countrymen, in dangers, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, people who call themselves Christians, but actually they are not. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. No, Paul was just describing the list of things he had to go through to serve God. No, in verse 28, beside these things, okay, beside all these sufferings, you know what? That cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul was not only concerned about his own suffering, his eye was also on how am I going to take care of these people in the church. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Paul in his ministry was saying, look, if I want to glorify, if I want to be proud of something, I can only be proud of my weaknesses, the things which seem to surround me all the time as I serve God. The God, verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Right? Verse 32, 33 talks about a situation where he had to run away because someone wanted to kill him. But let me ask you as I read this, what do you do when you serve the Lord but have many trials around you? What would you humanly do? Let's say if you work and then you have a lot of trouble in your workplace, you have to, what will you humanly do? What do you do? Sorry? Don't go to church anymore. Don't go to church anymore. Okay. What else? What else? More generally, what do we humanly do? We? Big letter C. Complain. That's coming from a We complain. Oh, why? Why am I going through all this? You know what was Paul's response when he go through? In the context of 2 Corinthians, I want you to look at verse number 3. You know what's the first thing Paul does, when he goes through all this? In his letter to the Corinthian church, the first thing he does is that he prays God. What? That's what he said. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase blessed be God is equivalent to the phrase praised be God. God is to be blessed. It's an expression also of thanksgiving. It's usually what we call the formula of praise that Paul oftentimes uses. When he says blessed be God, it's actually a praise of thanksgiving, of praise. And it shows Paul's entire confidence in God and how Paul says, look, thank God that He is my God. I'm so joyful in Him. Even though there's all these things around me, I will still praise God. All right? And also for his gratitude for his mercy. It's like a wounded soldier who has multiple wounds. You know, a soldier, sometimes you will fight, you get shot, right? Who have multiple wounds on himself, but you know, but he stands up to appreciate the one who has saved him from the enemy and death. Paul, as he has gone through multiple trials and temptation in his life, and perhaps he was being affected or sometimes, many times he was grieved about the things that happened, but you know what? He praised God despite his situations and the things that he has received. Why was Paul able to praise God? Why was Paul able to praise God? We need to learn to apply this to ourselves, okay? Are we going through some difficulties and trials in our own lives? And all we can see are the obstacles in front of us. You know, sometimes we will go through things and all we can see are the trees and the bushes and the things around us. We don't seem to be able to see what is over the other side. We do not see with our eyes. Yet the example that Paul gave us is that he praised the Lord even though he's in that situation. I want to show you four things, all right, from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Four things why Paul was able to praise God. Number one, Paul was able to praise God because God is the Father of mercies. Father of mercies. Look at verse 3. Blessed be God, praise be to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Okay, the Father of mercies. The word Father of mercies has the idea of the origin, the originator of all mercies that we experience. But what the question we want to ask ourselves is, what is mercy? What is mercy? Okay, there's a few things we need to, I was checking up the meaning. The word mercy has a few points. Mercy is the tenderness of the heart which leads a person to do a few things. All right? Firstly, we understand mercy is from the heart, but it does lead a person to do a few things. Number one, to overlook injuries. In other words, someone who has offended you, you overlook that. Number one. Number two, to treat the offending brother or the offender better than they deserve. Okay? To treat the person better than they deserve. The third thing about mercy is to forgive trespasses and injury and to forbear punishment. That means that even though the person is being offended, you will forgive, plus you will actually not give the punishment that person deserves. That's mercy. Number four, it leads a person also to inflict less than law or justice would warrant. That simply means that if I want to, I say I'm going to spank my child 5 times, but she's already crying and crying and crying. Okay, I spank you 1 time. You know? That's mercy. Okay? Some people say, no, you're being inconsistent. I'll beg to differ. I say I'm having mercy. Okay, you're supposed to spank 5 times, but I spank you 1 time, I'm not being inconsistent, I'm just being merciful to you. Okay? You know, it is also the tenderness of heart. Mercy is only exercised towards offenders. Mercy is only exercised towards offenders, people who have done the wrong thing. There was one time, there was this mother who was pleading with a soldier. Was pleading with Napoleon Bonaparte. Okay, it's just Napoleon Bonaparte. And he was pleading with this Napoleon, to the general, to spare the soldier who had done something wrong. And so the mother said, look, I plead for mercy. I plead for mercy for my son. And Napoleon said, your son don't deserve mercy. You know what the mother said? If my son deserved mercy, I wouldn't have pleaded for it. It's because he don't deserve that mercy. That's why I'm pleading for you to have mercy. Does that make sense? So mercy is something given to someone who doesn't deserve it. God is the Father of mercies. And I hope it's an encouragement. Mercy is a distinguishing attitude of God. God have mercy on us. He's the Father of mercies. There are many people who accuse God of being violent or being unloving. If God is a God of love, how can he do these things? Let's look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. When you read the Bible, you will find that God is never like that. God is never cruel. He is never violent. He is never unjust. Lamentations 3:22. Let's read together. I think some of you are there. You can read it from the memory, the verses, the list verse. Okay, Lamentations 3:22. Ready? 1, 2, go. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Okay, it is because of the Lord's mercies. It is because of God giving us something that we don't deserve, that we are not consumed. The word consumed means to be destroyed. Lamentations 3:22. Some of you may be confused, but Brother Johnny, I thought mercies is not giving to someone what he deserves. You know what? In the Old Testament, chesed, the word mercies is equivalent to a New Testament grace. And that is very important. You know, some of us may say, God, if God, you're a God of love, how is these things happening to us? Why is it happening to us? Like a chastened child, immature, who accused a father for spanking him, yet never knowing how painful and hurt the father is for causing the hurt, and also never understanding the love of the father has in his heart for the sin and the wrong that has been done by the child. Yet at the end, the child still accuses the father of being unloving. So God shows us his mercy, but by not dealing with us according to our sins. Do you realize that if God deals with us according to our sins, we are finished? If God deals with us according to who we are finished. But God says that he has not dealt with us according to our sins. God is capable of dealing with us with mercy because he's the Father of it. We are not capable of that kind of mercies, but God is. Okay, Paul was able to praise God because not only is God the Father of mercies, Paul received that mercy. It is an experience. He's not just saying that, God, you're the Father of mercies. You know, when he said that, he experienced it himself. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Paul's experience of receiving God's mercies in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What was Paul like before he was a Christian? Look at verse 13. He was a blasphemer, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious. The word blasphemer, someone who curses and despises the name of God. But I thought he was a Pharisee. I mean, he would have, you know what? He was someone with zeal, but not according to knowledge. He knew that this is Judaism. Judaism is right. This is my religion. So he cursed the true God, and that's why he calls himself now. After he conquered, he realized, hey, I was a blasphemer. I cursed God, number one. Number two, he was also a persecutor, someone who killed someone else because that someone else believed in something else. A persecutor. He was injurious. He was insulting to the people of God. But you know what he says? But I obtained mercy. I was doing all these things. I didn't deserve it. But I obtained mercy. Paul, like a criminal on death row. You know what's a criminal on death row? You know what's a criminal on death row? Once they say death row, he walked out. You know what's a criminal on death row? Someone who is being... he has been convicted and they have actually said you are going to hang, or someone who is going to be executed for his crimes. That's someone on death row. Okay, Paul is like someone on death row, but he has received pardon. He has been forgiven. He will not say that he deserves it. All he can do is praise God, the judge who freed him. So Paul remembers not that he was good, but he remembers that God is good. And that's, as a Christian, we need to always have in our mind. Paul can only praise God because God was good and merciful to him. Yet there are many situations, you know, sometimes there are many situations that we go through. But Christians, can I ask you never to forget who we are, where we came from. We are sinners undeserving of God's mercies, and yet he gave it to us. He lavished us with his unmerited favor. Like the prodigal son, remember last week, who spent all, not the week before, who spent all of his father's wealth, came back, but he was warmly received. He didn't deserve the father's love, but God gave him because he is the father of mercies. Is there someone in your life that, can you do that? We can't, because we actually need God. But when you have received God's mercies, we need to praise God for it. All right. So in the midst of the trials and tribulation, Paul was able to praise God because he recognized that God was a father of mercy. Point number two, look at verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Paul was able to praise God, secondly, because he was a God of all comfort. He's not only a God of mercy, but he's also a God of all comfort. The word comfort means to exalt, to encourage, to walk alongside of. Someone who walks alongside of you, okay? Paul traces all comfort that he receives to God because he's a God of all comfort, okay? Like a grateful son who realizes, you know, sometimes, I don't want to talk about that. Sometimes at the end of a course, for example, then you graduated from a course, then you're supposed to give a speech. Then people will say, I thank my mother, my father, my grandfather, and all that. Usually the first thing that you will always be thankful for is for your mother or your father, usually lah. Okay, I don't know, I haven't been to graduations. But you know, usually you will thank your parents and all that. Even though your parents are just working hard, not involved in whatever cause, maybe they, I know in Singapore, some of the people who work very hard for their studies, their parents are hawkers, or parents are just very poor and they work very hard. And maybe the parent wasn't even involved in the study or the cause, but you know, the first thing they do is to thank their parents. In the same way, Paul realized that all the comfort he received is all traced back to the God of all comfort. And that is Paul. That was Paul's thinking as he was actually doing this. He traces all his comfort, and he has good reason to. Look at verse number 4, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Paul was able to do, he was able to know that God is our comfort because God was the one who comforted him in all his tribulation. And I want to emphasize the word all. In all of his tribulation, every single thing that Paul ever went through in the ministry, in his own life, God was there to comfort him. Okay? Now, let's apply this principle, all right? Because God comforts him in all his tribulations, so God exalts, encourages, and walks alongside of Paul, and God encourages and exalts and walks alongside of us in all the tribulations in which we go through. Does that make sense? God walks alongside of us in all our tribulation. Does he not? When the disciples were in the boat, and then when there was a storm, where was the Lord Jesus? Right in the boat with them. Okay, he was there. He was in the boat, like a mummy or a daddy who sits beside their feverish child at night, dozing off only to catch some rest. God stays with us throughout our trials. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not slumber. Before he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord will preserve thy soul. The Lord will preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Psalm 121. God is the keeper of Israel. Parents, we sleep as we take care of our feverish child. God doesn't. God does not sleep, amen? He walks through with us. He comforts us even when we go through the trials. Oh, Christian, praise God in all of our tribulations because he comforts us in all that we go through. Maybe some of us are going through trials of life and we are finding it hard to continue. Do you realize that God walks with you along the way? It's when God is silent. I think some of you may have read this before, you know. You know, during an exam, the teacher is always silent. During an exam that you take or a test that you take, the teacher must be silent. Right? You walk around, look at you, but you're going through the test. God is with us, though we cannot see Him. You know, some of you may have read the book Behind a Frowning Providence by a godly man. And one of the things he said, even when you go through the dark clouds, the sun is still shining. Even all that we can see is just the dark clouds from here, the sun is still shining. Amen. Though there may be storms all around, the sun is still shining. You know, there may be trials everywhere. God is still there. When Joseph was thrown into prison in Egypt, after his brothers unrighteously and out of jealousy and anger sold him into slavery, he's all alone as someone, get this, he was in his late teens when he was sold into slavery. He was in his late teens, okay? He was perhaps afraid, he felt isolated and maybe even offended. But notice, I want you to notice something he did not notice. He was just doing what he was doing. There are three verses, I think it's inside your... three verses. Genesis 39 verse 3. And his master, get this, as Joseph, perhaps as he was sold into slavery, Potiphar was the Egyptian guard who bought him. The Egyptian guard, an unsafe, ungodly man who worshipped idols, the Bible said, saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Saw the light of God in Joseph as he was in slavery. Okay? And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So God was involved. Look at verse 21, Genesis 39, 21. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Of course, when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he was accused, right? Wrongly accused, and then he was thrown into prison. But you know what the Bible says? As they changed from Israel to Egypt, God was with Joseph. In Potiphar's house to the prison, the Bible says God was with Joseph, amen? And also gave favor on him. In verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that he was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. You know, even the warden of prison didn't worry. Joseph, you're in charge. He can go and play soccer, he can go and fly kite. When he come back, he knows that Joseph will take care of everything. You know why? Because God was with Joseph. When Joseph could not see God, but there were evidences of God's goodness. I want to actually highlight one thing here. I was studying this. You know what the Bible says? God comforts us in all your tribulations. All. Every single one. But Brother Johnny, I don't feel it. What you feel and what the Bible says, two different things. You may not feel supported, but God supports you. Amen? He is always faithful. Do you see evidences of God's goodness? Look at your hand. Just look at your hand. How many of you have a diseased hand? A diseased hand that you cannot use your hand. Do you realize that God is good? That there are people with stumps that they cannot use their hands? There are people with thumbs that they cannot use. I've seen a girl at 2 years old. I think I shared with you before. She cannot write. You know why? Do you know you need a thumb to write? You don't have your thumb, you cannot write. Children, do you realize that you need your thumb to write? Brother Johnny, I don't want my thumb. I don't want to write for exams. That's a different story, okay? Look at your hand. The fact that you still have your hand, there's an evidence of God's goodness. Okay? Open your wallet. No, don't open now. Some of you have some money, right? Some people don't bring money. Some of you may have an EZ-Link and you can even use your EZ-Link card to buy things now, alright? But you know what? Some people don't have. Do you see evidences of God's blessings? There's a phrase, I complained I had no shoes until I saw someone with no feet. Notice God has given us evidences of His goodness, of His support. Have you got good health today? Huh? Some people got infection. Did you know that? You need to pray for it. I had to suffer. We're in good health. Amen. God has given us evidence of His goodness, but Brother Johnny, I just cannot. Just because we cannot see that the situation doesn't mean God is not good to us. The fact we are being sustained today is God is good to us. Amen? And that's something we need to always remember. God comforts us in all our tribulations. In all of our tribulations. I just want to share with you one. I thank God for one thing, because sometimes the evidence of God's goodness is so good. This is just when I was in the army, first time, first in camp, you know. I took over this platoon, and at night in we harbor. Harbor means something. All the soldiers would just go into a jungle, and we're supposed to kind of have a roundabout. We all surround and kind of just be on alert in the jungle, okay? So the officers would be a place, and after that, we're supposed to go around. After we have kind of arranged all the soldiers, all the weapons must be pointing out, we must take care of one another, protect us in the night, can't see anything. Out of the blue, my sergeant came to me, "Sir, now for you." You know, we think about combat rations, you know those hardtack biscuits, the green color one long time ago as soldier we have. Of course, now they have Milo biscuits. Is it? What's the latest one now? What's the latest one? You just came back from in-camp. What's the latest? You didn't take combat ration. Okay, I don't think they have quite advanced food. Last time it was just hardtack biscuits. Basically, they don't want you to go to the toilet too much. Okay, those biscuits you eat get constipated. But out of the blue, these soldiers came and said, "Now for you, I had two pieces of gardenia bread with a thick piece of luncheon meat right in the middle. Now, sir, for you." So, wow, where do you... Little did I know, this is a new platoon I do. So I'm walking around in the machine gun trench, you know, quite a big one. There was a kitchen there. The soldiers actually brought rice. We were just having it because they know that we will stay overnight. And you know what? Even the fact, this sergeant, I don't know him. This is the first time I met him. "Sir, this is for you." You know, even in that little thing, when everyone else is eating biscuits, we had gardenia with luncheon meat. Of course, they didn't pan fry it, lah. Okay, there was no egg with it. But you know what? In the jungle, when it's dirty, you cannot see anything. Gardenia bread is a luxury. Even in that, you know, as I look back, how God even took care of us. How many of us can think of things in your life that out of the blue, God gave you a blessing? God cares for us. He comforts us in all of our tribulations. We would expect God to do more, yes? It could be that God just says, "Look, I want you to learn to just appreciate the little things before I give you the big things." Look at Job chapter 23, verse 8 to 10. What sustained? Job also went through a lot of problems. But I want to show you from here, I know, Brother Johnny, it's very hard to see God's... Yeah, I know there are evidences of God's goodness, but I know that God comes. But you know, sometimes it's so hard to see that. What sustained Job when he went through the difficult time? Job 23, verse 8. Job said, "Behold, I go forward, but he, God, is not there. And backward, I cannot see him. I cannot perceive him. I don't understand what he's doing. On the left hand, where he doth work," there's an acknowledgement by Job now. "Look, on the left hand, I know he's doing something, but I cannot see him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him." You know, Job was going through these difficulties. I think all of us know Job lost all his children. He lost all his property. He lost his health. And then he had a nagging wife. And then he had three friends that didn't understand him. He lost everything. Look at verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You know what sustained Job in all this? What do you think sustained Job in these trials? What sustained Job? We know that God will sustain him, but what did Job need to have to sustain him in these trials? He need to have faith. We need to learn to trust that when it is the darkest of night, that's what faith is about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you cannot see. We don't know tomorrow, but we know God who holds tomorrow. Amen. And when we look at the scriptures, the Bible says a God of all comfort. He comforts us at every angle. You know, some of you may be struggling, "Oh, Ron Johnny, I'm going through OA level. Wow, very tough, man." But you know what? God is sustaining you. The fact, do you realize one thing? Our human body is designed to take stress. And when the stress is taken away, that's when you break down. I don't know whether you understand this. I think I've seen it again and again. Of course, it may not be true in all situations. But when you're going through like a period of exams, and then you find that you can go all the way, but after the exams, either you knock off or you get high fever or you just kind of... You know why? Even during that time, God uses this thing called adrenaline to keep you running because it's something important for you to do. I want to just, at this time, thank God for one thing. I wanted to share, but I kept forgetting what so many things happening. But there was one time I ate a piece of bread. I was hungry, so I put peanut butter. After eating the bread, I realized, I said, hey, how come this bread is so white? And I realized the whole side is all moldy. The whole side is all moldy. God, I cannot fall sick. And the verse came to me. The Bible said, you shall eat something that's poisonous and you will not hurt thee. God, I claimed that promise. But you know what? I wasn't sick. Because I know I had multiple things I had to deal with. But not even with that. Please, don't go and try that, okay? It is not. Don't try this at home. If it's moldy, please throw it away. It's not worth it. You'd rather throw 20 cent piece of a bread than spend $30 at the doctor. Amen? That's wisdom, right? Throw that bread away. But at the time, I really didn't know. I realized I was telling you, it's all white. It's all white. And I ate one piece of it already. I thank God that He preserves us. I give Him praise. Even in that, God comforts us. God takes care of us. God takes care of us. What sustained Job? It was faith. Like a bullied child who only sees the enemies all around, but he knows his father is coming. He patiently endures the insults and the bullying, knowing that when the parent comes, all will be settled. When I was in primary school, I was being bullied. I thought I can take him on, okay? Except that it's not because I wasn't big. I was pretty big. I couldn't take him on. It's just, I know why I couldn't take him on, because there was not one of them, there were eight of them. I was being bullied in school. I still remember primary two. So I couldn't take him on, so I had to use my special weapon. You know what's a special weapon? My mom. I don't know whether you remember. And so after they bullied me so much, I bring my special weapon. My mom came. You know, after that, they didn't dare. So I had the privilege of pointing out, there, the person. You know what? You know, sometimes you feel like that, right? Being bullied by the situations around. Amen. Our Heavenly Father will right the wrongs. He's the God of all comfort. Christians, when you understand this, that God is always with you, even when He's quiet. Just because He's quiet doesn't mean He's not active. God loves us. And He is the God of all comfort. Christian, in the same way, God comforts us. He actively does it, whether by external circumstances, by the Word of God that generates faith in us, in Him. God sometimes changes circumstances. That's what we want. But you know what? God many times keeps the circumstances and changes us. That's what He wants. And so when you remember God is all God of all comfort, that's why Paul was able to keep on pressing on for God. He's a God of all comfort. Paul was able to praise God because He's a God of all comfort. And then point number three, Paul was able to praise God because the amount of suffering that Paul goes through, God gives the equivalent amount of comfort to go through. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation, the word consolation is the same word that the comfort is from, also abounded by Christ. The word abound means overflow. So if the sufferings that I have, notice it's the sufferings of Christ, not the sufferings of our own foolishness, not the sufferings of our own things that we do that are wrong. It's the sufferings of Christ. When I suffer on the behalf of Christ, when I am supposed to fulfill my duties to my family and I go through a hard time, the sufferings that God has given to me, the sufferings that is His will, when the sufferings of Christ increase, you know what God says? The consolation also increase. You know what that tells me? Whatever trouble we go through, no matter how much it is, if it's just some unit, if it's 10 units of trouble, God gives you 10 units of help. If it's 20 units of trouble, God gives you 20 units of help. And many times God gives you even more. Amen? That we can go through it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you can, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God promises that according to your sufferings that you go through on behalf of his, of Christ, to be faithful to God, God says, I'm going to give you the equivalent amount of consolation. Amen? That was what Paul was saying. That's what Paul was saying. As the trials increase, God's consolation and walking beside us will increase. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. I'll just read, lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul says, look, God was just concerned that I become very proud. And so what God did was God actually gave a thorn in the flesh. The word thorn in the flesh has often been used as an English phrase. Oh, he's a thorn in the flesh, pain in the neck kind of thinking. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Some people believe that it's probably because his eyesight wasn't very good. And so every time he read, he can't really see properly. Okay? And so Paul actually prayed, God, please take this trouble away. I want to serve you more effectively. But God, if I can't see properly, I cannot serve you more effectively. Verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. In other words, Paul actually prayed to God three times. The word three times have often been used as Paul's repetitive pleading of God. Okay, and some believe that it's three times. Because it's besought the Lord thrice, three times. The word thrice means three times. Okay? You know what? At the end of that, Paul understood in verse 9, Jesus said to him, Paul, I'm not going to take away the trouble from you. Because I want to teach you my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Can I just share as an aside? Sometimes when we pray for something again and again and again, and it doesn't depart from me. Or the thing, you see, I've been praying this for years, you know, this pain is still there. It could be that God's will wasn't to remove the pain in the first place. Paul learned something because he was walking close to God and the pain was constantly there. He learned from God. God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So it could be that sometimes in our trial and tribulation, remember just now what I said? God, our will is God to change the external circumstances. God's will, many times, is to keep the external circumstances, but change us. And that's where we learn that God's grace, unmerited favor, God's strength when we don't deserve it, as we go through the trials and tribulations, is sufficient. Because you know why? If God is perfect, his grace given to us is always perfect as well. Okay? It's always perfect as well. And so in verse 9, you know what Paul's conclusion when he learned that? When he learned that my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness, you know what Paul says? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. In other words, you know what Paul said? I praise God I'm in this situation. That's what he said. I praise God that I'm in this situation. Why? Because I know that as my situations increase, God's grace will increase. And as I yield to God and understand his grace, God's power will then be put on me to go through, that I might actually glorify God. Does it make sense? So go through the trials. As a weak child carrying a heavy bag of groceries and struggling, a wise and loving and strong father will observe the situation. And will not this father intervene to assist the child at the right time? No wise father will let their children fall unless God has a plan for them. So our God does the same. When he sees us weak and weakened when we are carrying our load, he intervenes and bears us up when we are going to fall. There had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God knows how much we can go through. And Paul says he was able to praise God because every time he goes through the trial, God gives the equal amount of comfort. The reason why some of us are still here, perhaps, and have not walked out in unbelief, You know why? Because God is faithful. Do you realize as a Christian, if you walk away from God, you walk into the cold night of sin. You walk away from the umbrella of God's protection. And the reason why we can keep pressing on is because God is faithful. And He knows that it's just like when we leave God, we disconnect the power. The reason why we're continuing is because God is gracious. God provided the comfort and the grace in times of need. There may be a Christian who may say, if God is faithful and comfort me in my tribulation, then why do I not see my consolation? Why can't I see it in my situation? Why is it that I'm still going through the same thing? We can get bitter, discouraged, and disillusioned when we're under a trial for a long time and we don't see any help. But I want you to listen to the scriptures. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That is God's promise. Will you believe God's promise or will you believe what you see? God says, you pass through the waters, I will be with you. It's an I will. It's not I might or I may. I will. You know, I think I mentioned it, when God says I will, means I've decided to be with you. I will be with you in the waters. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Will you trust God's promise? I have another interesting. When a child who is traveling with the mother, trying to walk on a slippery ground. Have you done that before? Like, you know, a little child trying to balance on the slippery ground. The mother is holding the hand as a child is desperately trying to balance himself so as not to fall. But sometimes, unfortunately, the child will fall, right? Now, when the child is struggling to balance, where is the mother? Beside the child, holding the child, right? When the child actually falls, where is the mother? Still holding the child. But the child fell. So it is with God. When we fall or are struggling, it is no indication of the unfaithfulness of God. He is still holding our hands. Our struggles and our lack of balance and our fall is the result of our weaknesses and our imbalance in understanding, never the unfaithfulness of God and never the absence of God. Because He has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh Christian, let it sink in. God never lies to us. And the reason why we are still in the trial, is because God has given us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God knows that you can take it. But Johnny, I'm very tired. I know. But we need to learn to submit to the will of God. Because if God puts you in the trial, He knows you can take it. Would you be willing to submit to the loving hand of our Heavenly Father? Paul was able to still praise God in the trial because he said, as my sufferings of Christ, when I know I'm suffering in the will of God, I know my God is going to be there with the equal amount of consolation for me to take that. He was able to praise God. God knew that Daniel can take the lion's den. That's why he allowed his child to go through it. Right? Have you thought about it? Daniel could have said, God, hey, scared, no, the lion bigger than me. Daniel just keep praising God and keep praying, and he was throwing lions then. He came out. Yes, God did deliver me, O king. God knew that Daniel could take the lions then. That's why God put him through. Christians, don't doubt the goodness of God, because God is always good. Even in trials and tribulation, God is there holding our hands, watching over us. In Psalm 55, verse 2, I like to say this is extension 5522. Every time you have a problem in this life, extension 5522, okay? What does it say? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Many Christians, when there's a burden, hold on to that burden. When was the last time you prayed over your burden and said, Lord, I surrender it to you? You know what the Bible says? Throw it. The word cast means to throw it off. Take it off and throw it to God. Cast it. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Who is stronger to bear your burdens, you or God? God. You know what? God invites us to cast our burdens upon Him. You know why? He will sustain thee. Notice the last part. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That means He will never allow those whose heart is right with Him and will walk with Him to be moved. That's why Paul was able to praise God. I don't care what trials I go through. I know my God is faithful. His consolations will be there to sustain me. Last point. Paul was able to praise God because Paul had a steadfast hope that as God comforted him in his trials, God will also sustain the Corinthians in their sufferings. Notice 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6 and 7. Whether we be afflicted, if we are going through the troubles, this is Paul's heart. There is always for someone else. Know one thing about the Apostle Paul, if you read his autobiography, if you read the Bible, it's the same thing, right? If you read the life of the Apostle Paul, Paul was always thinking about someone else. Amen? And he said, even when we go through the affliction, you know what he says? It is for your comfort. He was thinking about, what does Paul mean? This is what he means. When we have to go through these trials, it is to comfort you that someone cares enough for you and that what I go through will lead to your salvation. I say that again. Paul was trying to bring it across to the Corinthian Christian. If I'm being afflicted, it is for your consolation. When I go through the trouble, Paul says, it is to demonstrate to you someone cares enough for you to take the trouble so that it will become your consolation and it will become the second part in your salvation. Can I say this? It is possible that there are some people here who are tired, but they do all they can to minister to someone. That in the same way when Paul mentioned, when I'm tired, but I'm troubled, the difficulty on me, but I'm still helping to serve God in some way, someone else comes to Christ. It becomes their salvation. Does it make sense? Can you see the link? Can you see the link? That when we are being afflicted, someone else benefits. Just like as parents, we work very hard for our children. Maybe the young adults who work hard because they got to support someone. Because of our suffering, God takes care of the other person. That's what Paul has in mind here. Whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, not just to comfort you that someone cares for you. He actually led some of you to be saved. That someone cared enough to share with you the gospel. Which is also, the third point, effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. What does that mean? I'll just paraphrase that. If we go through the suffering and trouble, we go through it to bring comfort to you. That someone cares enough for you and for your eternal life. This is similar that missionaries will surrender their families, or not surrender their lives to go to the mission field, go through a lot of hardship, so that the entire village can trust Christ. That's what Paul is meaning here. Okay? Then he says also the second part, in order to, and when you realize this in your heart, it is effective to help you to know Christ to salvation. This trouble leading to the comfort and salvation is effective in producing in you the endurance you need in the suffering that you're going through. Now understand this phrase. Paul is just saying, I'm going through the suffering, it's for you. When you understand God loves you so much to send someone to help you, to comfort you, to lead you to salvation, when you understand God's love and God's grace in your heart, it becomes effective in producing in you the same type of endurance when you yourself go through the suffering for Christ. Does it make sense? Do you understand what Paul is trying to say here? So in the same way as I share with you, and perhaps someone in your life was a blessing to you, and then when you go through the same thing that this person who has gone through, and you understand his thinking, you understand his heart, you understand God's love in him, and when you go through the same thing, it's effective in producing the same endurance. Okay? Because as we are comforted by God in our sufferings and have experienced his hand of help, Paul was confident that the Corinthian Christian will experience the same because God is with all his children. Very simply, Paul is just saying, look, we've been comforted by God. Live at verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. Paul was able to praise God because he has experienced God's comfort in suffering. He has experienced God's personal presence in his suffering. And he's saying this, just as I've gone through and I'm seeing you go through, because I've experienced God's faithfulness, I'm confident, I'm able to praise God because you will be able to go through the same. And can I just apply this to us as we close in the next few minutes? Paul was able to go through the sufferings because of the comfort of God. Paul tells the Corinthian church, I know you can go through because God sustained me, he will sustain you. And Christians in Ambassador Baptist Church, and because God sustained Paul in his suffering, and Paul was confident that God will sustain the Corinthian church in their sufferings, I'm confident that God will sustain us in our sufferings because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God of comfort. He's the same God that will be with us as we walk this life. If God sustained the people in the Apostle Paul's ministry, God will sustain us. Like the earth that stands still stands despite the storms and the floods and the destruction that attends this world, God stands sovereignly and personally ready to attend to the needs and difficulties of his children because he is faithful and cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. As we close, are we going through things in our life that we sometimes find is hard to see? Paul says you can still praise God. You can praise God because he's a God of mercies. He is God of all comfort. You can praise God because the amount of suffering you go through is equivalent, or rather the consolation you receive will be equivalent to the suffering you go through. And you can praise God because if God sustained Paul, he can sustain you. And that's the hope we have in Christ as a Christian. If you are not a Christian, you don't have this hope. And that's where you need to come to a place of saving knowledge and say, God, I surrender to you. If you can care for Paul, you can care for the Corinthian church, Lord, I trust and I believe you can care for me too. Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We want to acknowledge, Father, that we can praise you because of what Paul has said. You're a God of mercies. You gave mercy to us when we didn't deserve it. You gave comfort, Lord. You comfort us in all our tribulations, every single one. The evidences of your goodness is everywhere. Oh God, help us to be sensitive to that, that we would understand that you are God of all comfort. That God, according to your will, the consolation that we can find in Christ is always equivalent to the struggles we have. Forgive us sometimes, Lord, we fail to see. We fail to see your goodness towards us. And Lord, help us to be thankful that as we have gone through the things in our life, and, or rather as Paul and the Corinthian church and the saints of old have gone through the troubles in their lives, Lord, you are able to sustain us as well. And God, may everyone and ambassador leave this place with this teaching in their hearts. My God is a God of all mercies. My God is a God of all comfort. My God will comfort me when the going gets tough and he is able to deliver me. Lord, I pray for faith in your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue, Lord, to touch our life. I just want to ask one question. Is there something someone is going to ask, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I'm going through a trial that I can't seem to see God's evidence of his grace. Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will open my eyes today. Is there someone like that? Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me see his grace. Is there anyone? Is there anyone like that? Let's pray. Lord, I commit everyone into your hands, and may thy word be a blessing to us. As we close in a closing hymn, Lord, may we seek you above all and your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.